We begin our series this evening with a pedal to the metal, experiencing abundant life in Christ. We'll look at a scripture text we're going to use this evening. This text is taken from Colossians, the third chapter, beginning with verse 17. Everything you say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, place yourselves under your husband's authority. This is an appropriate behavior for the Lord's people. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Children, always obey your parents. This is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, don't make your children resentful or they will become discouraged. Slaves, always obey your earthly masters. Don't obey them only while you're being washed, as if you merely wanted to please people. Be sincere in your motives, out of respect for your real master. Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as though you were working for your real master and not merely for humans. You know, the IMAX movie about NASCAR says that the race fans follow their sport with religious passion. But let me quote from it, but the sermon preaches speed and the kingdom is a checkered flag. Now, whether you're a race car fan or not, you can appreciate the danger and the determination and the desire of driving a car 200 miles an hour. Now, NASCAR does a good job of marketing its good old boy image, but today's race teams are more than beer-drinking buddies who dropped out of the fourth grade to drive fast cars. The technology and the precision of NASCAR racing rivals the space shuttle. And in this series of sermons, we will examine racing themes to illustrate spiritual principles. Racing appears several times in the Scripture as a metaphor of passionate faith. You know, God challenged Jeremiah not to be content to race with men, but to boldly race with horses. It says, if you have raced against others on foot and they have tired you out, how can you compete with horses if you stumble in open country? And perhaps the most popular passage is that which is found in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, where the Apostle Paul, of course, challenges the saints to demonstrate the type of discipline of an Olympic runner. And they run for a perishable prize, he says, but we run for an eternal prize. And I believe if Jesus or the Apostle Paul were walking among us today and preaching here in the 21st century, that they would use some contemporary sports illustrations to drive home some spiritual lessons. That was what they did when they ministered to people, when they pulled out illustrations, that they used those things that were contemporary to them in their situation. And this pedal to the metal is a phrase that describes striving to go faster, leaving your comfort zone, risking safety in pursuit of a prize. God is calling followers of Christ to embrace a pedal to the metal faith that loves more, it serves more, it risks more, and it gives more than people think is wise, safe, or comfortable. You know, the pastor and an author, David Jeremiah, said this, I'm absolutely convinced that life is meant to be lived with powerful emotions and heightened with joy, fulfillment, excitement, and purpose. I'm referring to something that penetrates deeper than an emblem on your shirt and a philosophy too complex for a bumper sticker. Passion is all about a basic mindset and a hard attitude for embracing life. Full bore, pedal to the metal, wide open. Pedal to the metal is what the Bible promises to those who follow Christ. Paul described the text here of Colossians chapter 3 as working heartily or enthusiastically for the Lord. And this type of life is not a Saturday night or a Sunday morning only exercise, but it transforms all areas of life, especially relationships, marriage and parenting and employment, as described in verses 18 through 22. You know, we read this passage again. It says, wives, place yourselves under your husband's authority. This is appropriate behavior for the Lord's people. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Children, always obey your parents. This is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, don't make your children resentful or they will become discouraged. Slaves, always obey your earthly masters. Don't obey them only while you're being washed as if you merely wanted to please people. Be sincere in your motives out of respect for the real master. Now, I'm not talking about extreme sports like driving a car at 200 miles an hour or skiing the Super G or climbing Mount Everest, but I am preaching about the call of God to live a life of passion and enthusiasm. You know, God's gift of eternal life is more than an extension of a miserable existence or a peaceful walk along a beautiful beach. No, the Bible says, eye has not seen what God has in store for us. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as the scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. No, God wants to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20 says, glory belongs to God whose power is at work in us. By this power, He can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. And we are not called to just be conquerors, but we are called to be more than conquerors. The translation is super conquerors. Romans 8:37, the one who loves us gives us an overwhelming victory in all these difficulties. Or we are super conquerors. Here in that passage, Jesus promised that we could participate in God doing the impossible. Luke 18:27, Jesus said the things that are impossible for people to do are possible for God to do, and that we could experience this amazing freedom. It says this in John 8:32 through 36, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. They replied to Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants and we've never been anyone's slaves. So how can you say that we will be set free? Jesus answered them, I can guarantee this truth. Whoever lives a sinful life is a slave to sin. A slave doesn't live in the home forever, but a son does. So if the son sets you free, you will be absolutely free. Too many saints have lost the belief that God desires to bless their lives. They have falsely concluded that all the good stuff must wait until some future age. And in the meantime, they just plod along hoping for just enough mercy to survive one more day. And the Word of God shouts for the saints of God to wake up and believe that the promises are for you and they're for you today. Now, the Bible is clear that salvation is the free gift of God. And we don't deserve it. It's because of God's grace. We can't earn it. We can't purchase it. Unfortunately, many followers of Christ have misapplied this concept of grace in the area of Christian living. Paul warned the saints not to receive the grace of God in vain in 2 Corinthians 6:1. He says, since we are God's co-workers, we urge you not to let God's kindness be wasted on you. Or God's grace to be wasted on you is what it says in another translation. You know, our text reveals a call to work diligently, to love compassionately, lead wisely, and to serve expectantly. Twice in these verses, 17 and verse 23, we see some interesting information here for us. The Word of God says here that whatever you do, it says first in 17, everything you say you do, in verse 23, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly. And I want to call your attention to that two-letter word, do, here. Our faith is an active faith. It is not a passive surrender, but an aggressive allegiance to the King of Kings. And in his insightful book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat, John Ortberg says this, would you like to guess the name of the best-selling chair in America? Lazy Boy. We want to immerse ourselves in comfort. We have developed a whole language around this. People say veg out and couch potatoes. Millions in our churches could be called pew potatoes. They want the comfort associated with spirituality, but they don't want the risk and the challenge that go along with actually following Christ. Now, once we take the first step of reclaiming the expectation of divine blessing, we must begin this process of pursuing God's plan for our life with our whole heart. Now, next we transform our motive from selfish pleasure to the Savior's praise. And the scripture is clear that our desire to live pedal to the metal must be more than selfish indulgence. Again, we find this powerful principle that is repeated in verses 17 and 23. We see these kinds of phrases here. The name of the Lord, and giving thanks to God, and ask for the Lord and not for men. And certainly these qualifying phrases limit our choices to those activities that actually honor God. And to do something in the Lord's name is to perform a task that is sanctioned by God's permission and strengthened by His power, and then it is secured for His praise. And stated another way, we work by God's approval and in His authority and in His acclaim. Even though doing things in the name of the Lord eliminates some activities, perhaps in our lives, we must not see the call of God as a limitation, but as actually an elevation of our life. You know, to live for the glory of God elevates our lives beyond the mundane and meaningless pursuits of man's approval. Teenagers are not the only ones who experience the pressure of trying to live to other people's expectations. You know, this week, on a couple occasions, it was my privilege to go by and pick up my granddaughter at school. And as you sit in that line at school, just count the number of SUVs in the car rider line at the school. And the toughest terrain most of those four-wheel drives will ever face is a speed bump in the school parking lot. But if all the other families have one, we should have one too. And I love the quote attributed to C.S. Lewis, who said, we are like a child who would rather keep playing in a sandbox because he has no concept what is meant by a holiday at the sea. Now, we are far too easily pleased. When was the last time that you did something for the glory of God? Do you give an offering because you're reminded that the church is under budget? Do you volunteer to help with the youth because no one else will? I'm afraid we miss great blessings and forfeit rewards because we fail to serve for the glory of God. We boast of our humility and brag to others about the time spent alone with God because we're trapped in this small cage of man's approval. The Bible promises a wonderful inheritance and a great reward for those who work enthusiastically for the Lord and not for men. That's what it says in this text here to us. You know, pedal to the metal may lead to a new activity that you've never done before. Or it could lead you to do something with a different perspective. Notice that the scripture does not say following Christ leads to a new house, or a new car, or more money, or a better job. Many people live frustrated lives because they're convinced that changing external circumstances would bring the joy, peace, and power that is lacking from their life. And the Apostle Paul reveals in Colossians 3:17-23 here in this text that we're looking at this evening that God wants to change our perception and our purpose more than our position. You know, we need a new heart more than we need a new house or a new car. Now consider the story of the farmer who decided to sell his farm, and he had grown weary of the cattle and mending the fences and mowing the fields. And so a real estate agent prepared an ad that said, a lovely farm in an ideal location, rolling hills, beautiful meadows, nourished by a fresh stream and blessed with well-bred stock. And upon reading the ad, the farmer changed his mind about selling. He said, I've been looking for a place like that all my life. Do you desire an explosion of joy and peace and love and respect and purpose in your marriage? Would you like to experience positive relationships with your children? Do you long for fulfillment in your job? Then follow Almighty God with your whole heart and do all things to His glory. Now get in the race and race to win. Don't be like this anonymous writer who wrote this and said, "First, I was dying to finish high school and start college. And then I was dying to finish college and start working. And then I was dying to get married and have children. And then I was dying for my children to grow up so I could return to work. And then I was dying to retire. And now I'm just dying. And I realize that I forgot to live." Let us do all for the glory of God. Let us do it with the pedal to the metal.